Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Wait, did I ever tell you about the one guy where this farmer in South Florida started his tractor like mid-sentence whenever we were on Zoom? Like, for real, I was talking to him and I was like, hey man, yeah, how do you grow your crops? Or it was like a very simple question. He was like, well, honestly, I was like, dude, I cannot hear you. What are you doing? He was like, oh, I'm on the tractor. I'm like, I know. Can you stop? He was like, my bad.
Can you not?
Can you not? It was hilarious.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful.
It was really irritating in the moment, but then I was like, oh my God, this is actually kind of hilarious.
I hope you left it in the video or the podcast.
I need to go back and look for it and be like, oh yeah, here's an outtake. I mean, it was like a big old tractor and there was no cab or anything because it was like right there. And
yeah.
He kept talking. I was like, dude, please stop.
Well, I was concerned that you'd be able to hear my air conditioning because it just came on. It's 10 feet away from me right now.
But. Oh, no, I can't hear anything. It's the quality of that gaming headset, dude.
That's what it is.
It is what it is. All right. Well, Max Herndon, DJ Wayne, Maximus Decimus Meridius. I feel like I never call you Max anymore. It's either like DJ Wayne or Hey Buddy Boy.
That's accurate.
It is accurate. So what's up? You're on the podcast. Do you feel famous now?
Was I not already?
I mean, you're more so now, I guess.
Oh yeah.
You're more so.
I feel like you'll probably have to explain to your viewers or listeners the origins of DJ Wayne for that time.
Oh yes. I was planning to. DJ Wayne, so you had in high school, you had the coolest job. You were
debatable.
okay, yeah, debatable, but it is still really cool. I never had a job in high school. I wish I did because I was broke. But you worked at the local radio station, and your name after or whenever you started, I was like, oh, I'm gonna call you DJ Wayne. And to this day, in my phone, you are still DJ Wayne.
And I didn't stop you then, and I should have.
Yeah, like every now and then I'll go to text you or call you, and I type in Max. I'm like, it's not in there. I'm like, wait, where is Max's number? Oh yeah, it's DJ Wayne all the time. I remember there was some Dirk Bentley song that came on, and I was like, hey, will you play this at 3 o'clock? And right at 3 o'clock, it was playing. I was like, heck yeah.
Yeah, and what's funny is that we weren't strictly allowed to do that. Like, they told us, like, not to do that. we didn't take requests ever, but I just didn't say anything about it.
Heck yeah. I mean,
like,
I mean,
if someone texted me or called me, I was like, hey, I want to hear the song, but all right. Because
I got really you. Keep it on the DL.
Yeah.
All right. So this is my favorite story. Tell everybody the Metallica whenever you played Metallica.
Oh, I did.
At the country music station.
Right. So this was the radio station I worked at was a very small, including myself. We had 3 employees. Very, very rural country song, country radio station. So we. In the early mornings when I had to go in on the weekends and I was the only person there and I was really bored, every now and then I would sneak in some non-country songs. I played a couple of Metallica songs, a couple of other things. I only got comments about it, I think, one time. Someone called and was like, what was that?
that was not George Strait. What was that right. song?
But my boss never said anything about it, so.
Well, there you go. I mean, as long as you weren't in trouble.
Right.
I still think, I don't know. I mean, surely across the country in like little smaller towns like Bluntstown, they have shows like Swap Shop.
Where, you know, I'm
people,
sure.
People call in and they're like, hey, I've got some chickens for sale. Come and get them. Or like, wouldn't it one of our classmates that called in said that was like, I've got chickens and crack cocaine for sale.
Yeah, we did have our share of prank calls come in, people trying to sell stuff. We had people trying to sell stuff that is illegal, like
like some drugs.
Well, no, we never had anybody trying to sell drugs, but apparently it's not technically legal to kill raccoons and sell them to eat. We had people trying to sell coons that they had killed. I just had to tell them, I'm like, we can't put that on here.
Sorry, man. Can't. I don't know if I've had a raccoon before. I've had a rattlesnake and gator. I don't.
I don't think you're allowed to eat it technically. But I'm sure a lot of people do.
I'll save this story for later. Yeah. So that was your DJ Wayne. I kind of miss listening to the 102.7. Not WPAB.
You're listening to K102.7 Y1000 Bluntstown, Bristol.
Yes, you've done that a time or two.
A few times. Awesome.
A few times. So, okay, you probably, this is kind of where I guess we'll kind of relate to agriculture. I mean, you probably know this. You are one of the reasons why I joined FFA. And of course, because I had a crush on some girls that also took ag. And my wife is slowly staring daggers at me right now. But she's like, how dare you? Sorry, Allie. But anyway, yeah, we took it. And then you became a two-time national champion. I mean, well, okay, so...
Well, one-time national champion, one-time third place national, I guess still technically champion, but third place.
I mean, still not bad. So you won state forestry your freshman year, and then you won the national FFA forestry contest sophomore year, right?
Correct. So I recall it was a big deal, apparently, when I made the team, the state team as a freshman, because I guess that wasn't very common. And so the way, you know, you obviously know, but maybe those that aren't familiar with FFA, you have the regional meetings and then you have the state ones, and then the national ones don't happen until the following year usually. So freshman year won the state one in forestry. And then the next year, while working on forestry for the national event, I was also doing business management, and we managed to win the state business management one as well the second year as a sophomore, and then won the national as a forestry. And I actually, before we started this, I had to go back and like verify what years it was, because it was so long ago I had forgotten.
It's been a hot minute. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. I was going back through some old photos and found pictures of like me in my FFA jacket.
The old school FFA jacket, yeah.
I had forgotten that I was the Sentinel one year, which I forgot that was even a thing.
I forgot about that. Old Sentinel Herndon. Yeah, I remember we were basically like Title Town back when we were winning all those state national championships, and you won it freshman year, and we were like, heck yeah, Max Herndon. And then I remember when you came back from after you won nationals, I was like, Max, are you going to remember what the trees are? You're like, nope, I don't care. I pointed to an oak tree. I was like, what kind of tree is that? You're like, I don't know. It's an oak. I was like, there you go.
It's a tree. It's got leaves on it. It's green.
It's a tree. I've already demonstrated that I know all there is to know about forestry. I don't have to prove anything else.
Well, what you failed to mention, I guess let me back up. You know that.
Beep, beep, beep. Back up.
Or you may not know, but like my dad obviously has worked in forestry his whole life, but I don't know if you knew, but Grandpa, he was also in forestry like his whole entire life. Like he worked for International Paper Company. Like that was his career. That's what he did until he retired. So
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah.
So forestry, obviously, that was that's what I was gonna do when I started FFA. You know, it was inevitable. But no, what you have failed to mention was our brief stint in the parliamentary procedure.
Oh my gosh, dude. So PARPRO, I guess FFA people listening to this might know what PARPRO is, but basically you're like demonstrating how to properly run a business meeting. And so it's six people, one chairman, five people sitting down, kind of running motions and stuff. And you know, usually it's like girls and boys, but we were like the only guy team, and we were like the closest knit group of guys ever. Like that was so fun. That was such a fun group. We did that for a couple of years. We went to state once. Freshman year we went to state, and then we didn't until junior year, which is when we had the all guy team.
Right, and so that's the only time I did it, and that was because I had done those other two, and I was kind of burned out at that point. And then I think y'all had somebody quit on the team, and y'all needed somebody almost like last minute, and I joined the PARPRO team. I remember it was like there wasn't a whole lot of time until I think it was the first one, the regionals, when I joined. So I knew I was last minute, but it was very fun.
It was very fun.
It was one of the most fun events that I remember doing.
Oh, heck yeah. It's so hectic because, I mean, you've got to prepare and you've got like motions you've got to move and debates and stuff. But I mean, we were all like so close. We were like, it was so much fun. I felt like we were like, I don't know, a different team, the all men team. But also, you and I, we actually share a state championship. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. The crosscut saw competition.
Yeah, man, dude, that was okay. So you won several state titles. This was my only state title. So senior year, we went to see our friend and also somebody that was on the show, Daniel Leonard, see him win state, and they would go on to win nationals. Well, wait a minute. So it was Daniel, David, his brother. Stuart. Yes, your brother Stuart, and then our friend Laura. So they all went and won state and the nationals. So that was groovy. Mm-hmm. And so we went and we cheered them on. You and I were really just hanging out with them. And then we're like, oh, hey, let's do the crosscut saw competition. And then they're like these big, burly foresters like, oh, we can do it. And they did it in like 45 seconds or something. And then you and I, two scrawny seniors in high school, got up there and we kicked their tails. We did it, what, like 20 seconds or something?
Yeah, we could like cut their time in half.
We did. And everybody was cheering. And then like we started, everybody realized we were going to beat the foresters. It was so quiet. They were like, what?
Pro tip for those of you who may need to run a crosscut saw, pull, don't push.
Absolutely. I think I pushed once and it buckled and you're like, pull. I was like, okay. And we just pulled. It went so great.
It will bind every single time if you try to push it. But if you pull it, works great.
Absolutely. I honestly don't think I've used a crosscut saw since then. I don't know if that's
the one and only time for me to.
But we kicked tail. That was so much fun. All right, so you remember Stafford Dawson?
Vaguely, yeah.
Do you remember how my junior year when I was on the state forester team and we lost, do you remember how we were going to mess with everybody else that we were competing against?
No.
With the pine cone?
Oh, vaguely, yeah.
All right, so for the forestry competition, you have a Biltmore stick and you use that stick, you know, to
measure.
It's
a fancy ruler.
Basically, yeah, it's a fancy long wooden ruler. You like put it up against a tree to measure the diameter. Then you walk 66 feet away and then you hold up the stick to see how many logs you can get out of it, basically. And you know what? I don't know if it was Stafford Dawson or Will Leonard. I can't remember if it was one of them, but
Will's the only one I remember actually watching him do it.
In the pinecone?
Yeah.
Okay. It might have been Will then. Yeah. So I think he's the one that walked up to a tree and hugged it in the official competition. Like he knew the trees so well. He just wanted to mess with everybody. He hugged the tree and then pretended to write something down. And then he walked back the 66 feet, picked up a pine cone and threw it in the air and pretended to time it. And then when it landed back down, he wrote the answer. And I remember seeing some kid from like Kathleen or another town who they were really good at forestry. They were like, what is that kid doing? Is he on to something? Should I hug the tree and then throw a pine cone up?
And then he went on to win the whole competition. Pretty sure he was the high scoring individual.
He was. I think so. He won the national title in forestry, I think, a year after or something, and then he won.
No, he was on my team.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. I was thinking of that picture you shared. Yeah, that was the business management team. He was on your forestry team, and then he did the prepared public speaking, and he won first place on that.
Mm-hmm. And then he was on your show for his forestry career recently. So
and then he was also on Fox News. Dude, I had so many people like Brett Digsby, if he's listening. I had so many people text me after that Will Leonard episode and they're like, man, I could listen to Will Leonard for days. And I was like, yep, me too. It's a very soothing voice.
Yep.
That also reminded me something about your dad and being a forester. Remember when that Progressive commercial came out and they were like, oh, we're gonna plant a million trees for all the paper we save or something? Mm-hmm. And we were like church group or something, or Sunday school, and your dad came in. He was like, yeah, who cares? I planted a million trees last week and a million the week before. He's like, Progressive ain't doing nothing. I was like, heck yeah.
Yeah. He's a tree planting fool.
He's a tree planting fool, man. All them trees.
I would like to clarify, he personally didn't plant a million trees, but his crew of people have planted several million trees in his career.
I mean, that would be pretty impressive if he by himself could plant a million trees in 1 week. I mean, he's got some clones out there or something.
Yep.
That was cool, Max. Well, have you listened to any Farm Traveler episodes? I mean, no pressure, not to put you on the spot. I mean, it's probably weird. You're putting me on the spot
a little bit. I will admit I haven't listened to very many, but the ones I have listened to, I've enjoyed. And I think it's really fun seeing it grow. And I think I saw on your, I don't remember where I see it. How many subscribers do you have now or whatever? I thought it was 3,000, something like that.
Yeah. So it's weird. Like iTunes and Spotify, they won't show you like the number of subscribers, but they'll show you the percentage of people that listen to you are subscribed and aren't. But like on average per month, we've been getting like 3,500 downloads, which isn't too bad. I mean, it's not Joe Rogan levels, which like, you know, it's like 100 million, but still, I mean, 3,500 is still pretty good. So
pretty impressive, honestly.
Thanks, bro. Thanks,
bro. I made sure to subscribe on your YouTube channel this morning.
I saw that. Look at you with the plug. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Anytime.
I'm slowly trying to put the videos over back on YouTube. So, you know, youtube.com/thefarmtraveler. Thanks, Max, for that plug.
Anytime.
Well, you know what? You are also the Michael Bublé of Bluntstown. I'm not going to have you sing or anything, but if I ever need a catchy jingle for Farm Traveler, I might call you. I don't know how that would sound, though.
I don't know. I was going to commend you on your choice of royalty-free music that you use in your intro and stuff.
Thanks. Yeah. So this is funny. This will probably be the last thing, but I use this YouTube bank where it's like all these free songs and stuff you can use. But then I was like, you know what? I want something normal and something original. And so I actually got a student of mine, his cousin, I think, recorded music, and I got him to do it for like $20, and it sounded great.
Okay. It's not royalty free. It's you hired someone. I was gonna say, you know, once your channel gets grown, you could have some like professionally done intro music. Although the one you have now is good.
I want some like death metal or something. I think that'd kind of throw people off.
You might alienate some of your viewer base.
I mean, probably. It'd be like, what the heck? Which I wanted to experiment with this, but well, speaking of YouTube, I don't know if you listened, but a few weeks ago it was raining. It's when we had that hurricane hit Louisiana. It was Lisa or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was raining here for like 5 days, and I put the Forrest Gump music in that where he's like, it's been raining for 5 whole days. And I got copyrighted on YouTube for it.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Well, they didn't take it down or anything. I wanted to see, but they're like, oh yeah, you can't make any ad revenue, which I can't anyway because it's so small. But I was like, okay, this is a good experiment. But the podcast side of it is fine. So
right.
I asked Allie. Allie is she's the guru when it comes to allowing things in the podcast or not. She was like, yeah, you should do it. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And it worked out.
Big old fat rain.
Big old fat rain.
Rain.
And sometimes rain that will come up and bite you. That is the best movie.
It's a good movie.
Fun
fact about that movie. They originally wanted Tom Hanks to just use his normal speaking voice. But he was adamant that they use the voice that he wound up using in the movie, and they liked it so much that, I mean, obviously, if you've seen the movie, you know. But I feel like if they had just gone with his normal speaking voice, it would have been a completely different movie.
Oh, yeah. It would not have been the same.
No,
That was such a good movie. Have you ever been to Savannah? I feel like you have been to Savannah.
Yep.
You know where the opening shot, or not the opening shot, but basically where he's on the bench talking to the people, that was filmed in Savannah?
I guess I didn't realize that.
Well, boom. There's many courtyards in Savannah. I don't know which one in particular, but this one, the park bench was like right by the road. And apparently a lot of people kept standing out in traffic to take pictures of people sitting on the bench. And so they moved it to like inside a church locally so that people would stop doing that.
Makes sense.
Sad face. Yeah.
No, tourists. I for some reason I thought it was in Atlanta, but if I'd have known that, I feel like we would have tried to go see it while we were there. But
I mean, close enough. Savannah, yeah. Atlanta, they're like close, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably 2-3 hours.
Yeah, that's not too bad. All right, last story. I just thought about it. You remember the You're Sitting in Ants thing?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to tell that story?
I suppose I can.
Do it.
We were working on a parade float for the homecoming parade. I can't remember what float it was. Was it?
I think it was our church float.
Was it the church float or was it the senior class? No, it was the church float. That's right, because we were doing it at a church.
Okay.
And I can't remember now. Was it you or me that was actually sitting in Ann's?
You were on the trailer and I was on the ground.
Yeah, so you were putting up some kind of streamers, attaching something to our float, and I was just like, dude, you're sitting in ants. And you were like, no, you're sitting in ants. You had to be there. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And I turned around and like, yeah, I was sitting in ants. I was like, oh, thanks, Max, for helping me out there. Hilarious. All right, Max. Well, thanks for being on the Monday show. This was kind of cool, kind of chill. Yeah, I'll probably play some Call of Duty with you sometime this week or something. You know, it's been quarantine. Hold up. It's quarantine. When was the last time I saw you? Like freaking February or March or something?
I want to say we were there for a football game.
Oh, yeah. The Super Bowl.
I think that was I thought. I think that was the last time.
Yeah. Allie was out of town. That's around her anniversary. Yeah, that was it. I think it's like February. I don't know.
It has been a hot minute.
Lord, well, we need to have a range day or a chill day soon.
Sounds good to me, man.
But yeah, well, cool. Thanks for being on here, man. All your ag background and our FFA background. I feel like whether you have liked it or not, we have been at the same elementary, middle, high school, community college, university, all that stuff. You remember at that time where you were dropping me off from dinner? Like we went and like hung out, like not like a date or anything, because that'd be weird. But we like went and got dinner, and I was like throwing a tennis ball around in your car.
I do vaguely remember that. Yeah.
And you were like, "I hate you sometimes," and I just bursted out laughing. I was like, "Max, that's the best compliment ever."
Oh yeah, that was when we were both at UF.
Yeah,
I think I have this tennis ball. Actually, I may have it somewhere nearby.
Yes.
I kept it because I didn't want to give it back to you. So I kept it and it was in my car for like 2 years. And then it's in my house somewhere. I'll have to find it later.
Yeah. It was in that little Fiesta, I think, in the cup holder. I remember that thing. Now you've got that Mustang.
Oh yeah.
You've got the good car, the super fast car, faster than my Mazda.
I hate to brag, but it's faster than most things.
fact. Oh, I saw a Corvette C6 or the new one today on the way home. C8, yeah, on the way home, and it was very nice. Allie was like, "What are you looking at?" I'm like, "A Corvette." She's like, "It's just a Corvette." I'm like, "It's a new Corvette.
It's mid-engine.
It's a mid-engine Corvette that looks almost like a Ferrari, and they're super affordable and they're super cool.
And will outrun some cars that cost significantly more."
Oh yeah, like the Lamborghini. I also saw. Okay, I did not know this, but apparently Panama City Beach, there is an exotic car rental place that has like a Lamborghini and a Ferrari and a bunch of other stuff. So. I didn't know it. Fun fact.
May have to take a trip to Panama City Beach.
Might have to. I mean, just rent a sports car. But then we can go do that Cartona, you know, drive the electric go-karts.
We do need to do that.
That is fun. We have a very redneck friend, and he did it, and he said he enjoyed it. So we need to go do it. Yeah. All right, man. Well, thanks for being on the Monday show again.
Yeah, no problem.
This was cool. Yeah, I'll play Call of Duty with you sometime.
Okay.
I mean, you're always better than me, so
that's not true.
You're better at me. You're better than me at multiplayer. I'm better than you at Warzone. Would you say that's fair?
I would say that's accurate. Yes.
Okay. Even though I've only won one Warzone match out of like 100, so we'll get there.
Right.
We'll get there. All right, Max. DJ Wayne, homie Slice. Talk to you later. Thanks for being on again.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.